Scarpins Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. We got a great guest on the show today, someone who knows his sports, who knows
long-time friend.
Sports cards. He's into that whole world, and his opening up of our minds to the baseball card world. We talk about that and the basketball card world and all the collecting world.
The unboxing of everything is just, to me,
it's fascinating.
It's fast, the collectible nature, because we were kids who collected stuff.
That's right.
It's on a whole new level right now, and his sort of entree into it opens that door to us. Scott Rogowski, former host of HQ Trivia. He was on DAZN with Adnan Virk. He had the baseball show called The Changeup. He's just fantastic, and we get into all of it. Baseball stuff. We even, on our Patreon, talked to him about the first Orthodox Jew who was selected in the
MLB draft.
Pitcher can throw 97 miles an hour, which is amazing.
And won't work on Sabbath. Or he might, if he can walk.
If he can walk to the games, maybe.
Fascinating. Unbelievable. That's on our Patreon. But first, the Olympics are upon us.
Yes, we're in knee-deep in them.
Which
Athlete countries are going home. Athletes are not participating. North Korea is not sending a delegation. Which, did that surprise anybody? Who knows?
Toyota. This, to me, maybe was the biggest thing going into the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we are recording this ahead of time, but Toyota pulled all of its ads out of the Tokyo Olympics as a sponsor of the game.
That's crazy.
Because of the backlash that Tokyo and Toyota is getting for even
deciding to have the games
at all, because of the Delta variant, because of the danger. You know, obviously they had hoped, if the whole world would have gotten vaccinated,
that's right,
the Delta variant wouldn't be as violent and wouldn't be as dangerous
as much of a threat as it is right now. But no, people had to make it political, and people had to not get vaccinated. And so as a result,
and no one wants to be the reason why the world is going to have another pandemic or spread the Delta variant even more.
I mean, you think about the Olympics, it's people going from their countries to another country
to all gather in a major way and sweat on each other,
then bring whatever they get their venereal disease or
from the Olympic Village,
and then bring it back out to their countries.
And it's
like going to get the variant and then bring it to your country.
So this is what I want to ask you about.
Once money starts pulling out, like, that's when it gets
real.
That's
when you know it, because when corporations have a way lower tolerance, a way lower level of conscience.
They don't care about morals here.
But it is a Japanese country, and there is a larger concept, the Japanese concept of the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
So is Toyota, this is my question to you, Rand, is Toyota just licking its finger, sticking up the air, and seeing how the wind's blowing, and then they're just trying not to get a negative backlash?
Or trying to get out in front of it.
Or are they trying to do something for the greater good? Are they succumbing to this Japanese concept?
I think they're trying to do something for the greater good. I think it has now been past the point, sort of the watershed point of the Olympics being seen as something that's good to be a part of. Because initially, when you're talking about the Olympics, people are excited, advertisers, to be a part of it, to say, slap Toyota's name on there because everyone's going to be watching the Olympics.
There are a bunch of feel-good stories. It's a bunch of stories about, you know,
people overcoming things and the sacrifice and whatnot. And Toyota wants to be a part of that. But
Toyota wants you to know the story of the Japanese mom who drove her daughter to gymnastics in their Toyota pickup truck that had 400,000 miles on it.
That's right.
And they drove 80 miles a day
to take her
to practice back. Right. And this car never gave up on them, just like she never gave up on her daughter. But you can't do those stories when the world is dying because you're having these games.
That's right. So they don't want to be a part of it. It's a lot of the same calculus that we took about not going out on the road.
That's right.
You know, part of it was like, look, we don't want to go out on the road and perform to half full venues. We're already splitting the money as it is. So there's a financial consideration. But at the same time, I don't think we wanted to bring a bunch of people together in the same room
to possibly risk being a spreading
during
event.
The pandemic, by the way, and there were people going out on the road all the time. So I understand if Toyota is at that place going like, we don't want to contribute to a group of games that potentially could be putting people in danger. And the question is, are people going to even watch the Olympics?
I don't know, but if I'm Toyota and you want to get some positive publicity, which is what the opposite of what they would have gotten if they spent the money.
You open up vaccination sites at every single one of your car dealerships.
That's number one. Or number two, you drive around in Toyotas and you do mobile vaccinations.
There you go.
Mobile vaccinations to the least vaccinated areas in town.
And make a commercial about that. Here's Toyota taking a Toyota, whatever it is.
And you bring free stuff.
Highlander.
T-shirt cannons.
Everybody
People
loves
will do
t-
anything for a free T-shirt.
That's
They'll
right.
do anything. You want to get a vaccination? Yeah.
Get a free. We'll shoot a T-shirt.
We'll shoot a T-shirt your way.
People love free T-shirts so much.
So make it a U.S. Olympics or a Japanese Olympics or whatever it is. Toyota drives to the least vaccinated areas around the world. They take all the money that they would have spent on advertising.
Put it into this whole vaccination campaign and try and vaccinate as many people as they can.
Toyota,
and
you can do this.
You can do. We're telling it to you right now.
And then you turn that into an ad campaign, and I think people will be on board with Toyota forever.
And it would have been the goodwill that you would have gotten from the Olympics had you stayed in the Olympics. You can get it this way. That is our story when we come back. Scott Rogowski is with us. We're going to talk NFTs. We're going to talk about cards, and we're going to talk about how the market just soared during the pandemic. It's come back down to earth, but it's coming back up again. We'll talk about all that stuff, plus the Mets' ridiculous collapse and much, much more. And then later on the show, I didn't know that John Oliver, the great John Oliver, had a brother. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. We interviewed John Oliver's brother, Ron Oliver, later on the show, and oh boy, it's a doozy. You are not going to want to miss it. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We got, as promised, our buddy who is really one of the funniest people we know, one of the smartest people we know, one of the quickest people we know, and he also knows his sports, Scott Rogowski. Welcome back to the show that you have done many times.
I'm one of the quickest
people
you know.
Totally. It is.
So Scott Rogowski, who, if you don't know him, had a show with Adnan Virk, which is all the letters of Dan Van Kirk but rearranged.
Yeah.
If you were to throw it in a bag and do a jumble.
Pakistani Van Kirk.
Pakistani Dan Van Kirk.
Or if Adweek did a version of Dan Van Kirk.
Ad Van Kirk, if you're doing Adnan Virk on DAZN, where it was called The Changeup. Am I right?
That's
the Changeup.
Right.
Talk baseball.
And I called him Circle Virk. Or Virk Nowitzki.
Virk Nowitzki is a good one.
Yeah, we got into it with the nicknames.
He's a really fun guy, and provided, like,
he was a good foil to
right,
your
he's
comedic
fun enough. Like, he
intention.
Can provide the information and allowed you to go off. It was a great
Honestly,
pairing of people.
It truly was, and it's one of those things where, you know, neither of us was consulted on who would be the co-host. It was
right.
kind of like we were thrown together last
minute.
It's
like a blind date. It's like a blind
date. 3 days before the season starts
Unreal.
And our first show is on the air, we meet.
But you knew of him from ESPN, and
yeah.
you knew that he was like a quality. Like, I always loved him on ESPN.
He's a good broadcaster.
A good broadcaster, knows his stuff, could do a good job, and also had a great sort of positive energy. Anyway, you guys did
the funny part is we hadn't met at the All-Star game in 2018, the year prior, when I was there as a celebrity softball attendee, as a roster member from
HQ Trivia.
And so he interviewed me, him and Eddie Perez, Eduardo Perez, interviewed me on ESPN, like, you know, by their desk at the game. And I kind of forgot that. But
how'd you do in that game? How many hits?
I think I was 2 for 3 in that one. I struck out Shaq on a foul tip to Wale. Say that?
Foul tip to Wale.
I got him to pop foul to Wale behind the plate.
I love that animated movie, Wale.
That was my favorite Disney Pixar movie about how we're trashing our planet.
Yeah, a robot, Wale. Evil! For those who don't know, we'll reset.
He's a rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Mixtape About Nothing. He's a big Seinfeld fan.
Oh,
Wale.
Really?
Cool guy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. And you...
I singled off of Bernie Williams. I mean, that was, you know, highlight of my life. So
You singled off of Bernie Williams, and you retuned his acoustic guitar, which I thought was really nice.
I dropped the D, which is, you know, when you're playing, you know...
Which is what Jeter used to do all the time, and then he gave him a gift basket. He dropped the D, and then he gave him a gift basket.
It is so nice to have you on, as we are in the dog days of summer. Obviously, the Olympics are forthcoming. We're in the midst of it right now. Is it even happening? I don't know.
This is such a weird Olympics. This is when all eyes turn towards baseball, and we start to head towards the pennant races. You know, it looks like in the National League it's going to be 3 teams from the West and then all the division winners, right? I mean, that kind of is what
three
it is.
I think it's the 3 teams from the West and the Brewers, which, can we just say, you know, Tampa Bay, by the way, I'm looking at the American League, and Tampa Bay, as we record this right now, who knows what's going to happen next week when this drops, in 8 days when it drops, but as we record this, they were 1 game behind Boston, which Boston was playing out of their minds, and you say to yourself, God, Tampa Bay is always there. They win the NHL Stanley Cup 2 years in a row.
They win the Super Bowl,
and they're probably going to be in it or close to it again this year.
Tampa
with Tom
Bay.
Brady.
No town deserves it more.
So no, really.
Is Milwaukee the new Tampa Bay?
Well, this week, yeah. I mean, between them and the Brewers, you're saying? I mean, it could.
If they get Aaron Rodgers back, you never know. That was the Jewiest noise ever made by three people. But let's talk about.
You're talking about the Olympics, and you're talking about the playoffs, and my Mets are in first place right now.
So as a long-suffering Mets fan, do you have confidence in this first place?
What's going to happen first? Are the Mets going to win their division and win a series in the playoffs, or is Mike Piazza going to come out of the closet? What happens first?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, right now you're safer being unvaxxed at an Olympic Village orgy than taking the mound for the Mets.
That's true.
Because they have more pitchers on the shelf than a Cracker Barrel country store, okay?
And they do have a lot of pitchers on the shelf.
I told you I was the quickest.
You are the quickest. It took you a second, but you got it.
Well, the Dodgers have a lot of pitchers on the shelf, and two for injury reasons, and one because he's a terrible human being.
He likes to choke people out.
So that's a crazy story.
What do you do with Trevor Bauer?
The biggest offseason signing
ever.
Everyone's a buzz. The Mets wanted him. Can you imagine if the Mets had to deal with this?
Rags, he is the biggest offseason signing, number one. Number two, he was
joins the world champions.
Right. Number two. Number three, he's a very outspoken person. Like, he's the one who's complaining about, why are you making such a big deal about the spider tech stuff that we have? And then he's also throwing shade at other people. It's like he's a very vocal person, probably the most vocal.
Yeah. Taking it upon himself to put himself in the spotlight.
He's the anti-Trout, if you will.
Yes.
You know, there's like, I wish he would have an interpreter, someone that would, you know, he starts talking and then the other person interprets it into actually decent things to say. But like, fine, I don't want to curb this guy's speech, but that's who he was. And now, like, what do you do with him? The Dodgers have to let him go, am I right? I
mean, there's innocent. No way they can hang on.
You're innocent until proven guilty, but man, this does not look good. And it does not, you're innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. But if the Dodgers feel like,
This guy is bad for business. Yeah. It's a business.
What does the contract say? Does it come down to, like, is this, did they get a kill fee?
I bet they do. I bet there are things in the contract that's.
I'm not worried about the guy's like financial future. He's gonna be fine.
I mean, they're acts of God, but acts of assholery.
I mean, acts of Chuck.
Literally.
I think he's gone. They're saying he's like not coming back until the end of July, but I think he's gone.
Yeah. How do you put that guy on the mound?
Right.
In
Ray
a city
situation.
Like Los Angeles.
So if you are the Dodgers and you put him on the mound at all, you put him on the mound to where some fans who don't care about what he's done, who will take the side of him, who will victim blame and victim shame, they will cheer for this guy. So essentially what you're saying, especially if he wins and he plays like Trevor Bauer. So essentially, as the Dodgers, you're saying we stand with this guy and we are against victims of, you know, we completely don't believe the words of a victim. That's what you say as an organization. And I'm telling you, the Dodgers will not want to do that.
They will come back to the thing of, well, why did this woman come back a second time? Like, those are all, that's what a lot of those people are going to be saying.
Yeah,
she came back for more.
The doubters and the
The doubters and the people who will
the cynics and the people, yes, but, you know, maybe they can put him in a dunk tank and have fans line up and
just give them a bunch of little cuts and it's lemon juice.
It's lemon juice and a bunch of cuts.
I blame Aziz. I think he was hanging out with Aziz too much in LA.
I don't know. Look, all I'm saying is they've got a problem. The Dodgers no longer have their number one pitcher. Clayton Kershaw is hurt until at least August. Dustin May down for the year with Tommy John surgery.
Giants aren't getting any worse, are they?
Well, maybe the Dodgers are trying. They're like, look at how the Giants are doing it with a bunch of no-name guys who are literally going about their business. They're not huge stars. Maybe we need to do that. So maybe they're trying to no-name their roster.
Look, I will go to the mattresses for Kurt Casale.
Okay,
and Donovan Solano.
There you go.
I mean, these are the unheralded stars of the Giants. Like, you know, Mike Yastrzemski. There's another Yastrzemski in the major leagues these days, if you haven't been paying attention.
I know.
And Yaz downstairs at Eric's.
Very nice. Well, I mean, okay. So I personally think it's going to be the Dodgers. It's going to be the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres in some order.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Padres could make
They could
that
end
run.
Up at the top of the heap at the end of it.
Tatis alone
Is
can power
the
that team.
Is he the most fun dude ever? I love him. He's so good for the sport.
What Randy and I said is when we were in Cleveland doing shows,
I don't even know if you were there with us, Rags, but we were there and we were watching the World Baseball Classic, and USA was playing like Colombia, and we couldn't really see the score. We were far away. It was in between shows, and we saw everyone empty out of the Colombian dugout.
Colombia scored, and we were like, oh my God.
And they ran out of the dugout, and we're like, oh my God, they had a walk-off, and they beat the USA. Like, that's insane. Colombia beat the USA or something like that.
And we get up close, and we're like, oh, no, it's only the second inning. They just scored one run.
That was their reaction to scoring one run.
They jumped over the side of the thing like they won the World Series.
As we watch it, we're like, oh, yeah, they're having fun. Like, there should be so much fun in baseball. And why isn't it like that in Major League Baseball? Why aren't more guys, like, going nuts and throwing the bat up into the sky?
Because the Tatis Juniors weren't the old guard or the establishment of baseball. And mm-hmm. I feel like as this guy starts to move in, like, you're like, Tatis Jr., you're so good. You can have a down first part of your year. You're still going to get voted into the – you'll be an all-star every year because people love you.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, look, I mean, the league, I think, is – it's slowly turning the page, I think, with some of that stuff, the stodginess of old, right? And I think a lot of it is, you know, and it's happening in every league, but it was accelerating the others, I believe. The video game culture, like the young guys coming up now are just more tapped into, you know, the zeitgeist, I think, and that sparks the creativity, so to speak, and the energy, and it's
dude,
exciting.
Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani. The fact that there is a guy, I love that he doesn't speak English. I love that he has an interpreter.
Take like, that, Stephen A.
Yeah, it's like he comes from somewhere else.
He's like magic.
He's almost like a Marvel superhero. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's got an origin story. He came from the depths of Japan.
Kal-El.
Exactly. He comes here with it. It can only speak through an interpreter, even though we have video of him speaking perfect English. He only speaks through an interpreter. Like, there's it's the myth making. You know, when we talk about the myth of Bo Jackson, and I don't know if you saw that 30 for 30, but they're like, he was the last great guy where people have stories that you never
saw. But you don't have footage.
It's like, we don't have footage of Shohei Ohtani doing stuff as a youngster, or there is like that great stuff. There's some stuff of Japan, but it's hard. You got to dig it up.
This guy was in track since he was in fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
He kind of materialized.
Prodigy, right.
Yeah. We didn't know his every move. Like, we weren't.
And now
into,
he's the biggest. How great is it that the biggest star in baseball, without a doubt, Shohei Ohtani. He is. Like, mm-hmm. The ball don't lie, as Rasheed Wallace says. He is the biggest star in baseball. The biggest star in basketball right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Uh-huh.
So a Greek.
Imports.
Greek. And by way of Nigeria and Japan, those are two of the major sports, and these are your biggest guys. And obviously, the biggest player in hockey is Canadian. So, like, the major sports, football being the only one where it's not that. But, like, it's amazing how, to me, I think this is great. America should be celebrating that. You know, the fact that, like, here we have these sports that are so international that are...
The world is beating in basketball. The world is caught up to the United States on the Olympic level.
But don't sleep on Sebastian Janikowski's son, who could be the next great NFL star out of Poland.
Does he smoke? Smokes a lot.
Yeah.
Is he a kicker?
It's cool. The globalization, of course, again, another trend that's just been spreading in the last 20 years, and it's getting to the point now where all the fruits of the labor that these leagues put in, I mean, world football leagues and you know, NBA touring Europe and Asia, and, you know, the Yao Ming, right? And
team of the early 90s.
Dream team of the early 90s. It goes back 20, 30 years at this point. I mean, the conscious efforts were made by all these
seeds
leagues.
Seeds were planted,
and now they're reaping the harvest.
Yeah. So I just think it's amazing. Again, I watched, you know, in watching Giannis, and we talked about this in last week's episode, but in watching Giannis and how he handled, there was a video on TikTok of him ordering at Chick-fil-A. He orders 50 pieces on the nose. He's like, I want 50 piece, like, chicken thing, not 51. Not 49, I want 50.
And he's 50 for the amount of points he scored, 50 for the years since they won their last one. Brilliant.
Amazing. And he drives up through the drive-thru.
With both trophies.
And the reason he said he had both trophies, this is so beautiful. It makes you love the guy. We're like teared up listening to him. He's like, this is what he said. He wasn't like, I'm the greatest. Step away from me. I'm better than everybody else, and I'm more physically gifted than anybody, and I can block DeAndre Ayton, and I can do this, and I can do that. No. He said, the reason I have both trophies with me in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A is that I don't want to wake up tomorrow and realize this whole thing was a dream.
Oh.
You love the guy. It's just you love that guy. Again, I feel like there is a humbleness to Shohei Ohtani in the same way that there is like a –
Not I'm better than everybody else. He shows it, and he does it when he swings the bat. His swing is so sweet. His swing is so true. When he pitches, there's like an extra gear that his ball goes into in movement on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's just like he doesn't have to say it.
And look, here's a guy who, you know, comes in very heralded.
Right.
Injuries in 2019, right? And then, of course, last year being shortened. It's like people were, and I can relate this to the card industry, if you want to sort of pivot into
Let's pivot into that.
Because that's you know, where you're
what's a Shohei
talking about? He's
rookie
the greatest, worth. Right. You're talking about the greatest star. His cards are the hottest as they've ever been.
So what is a gem mint 10 Shohei Ohtani rookie card going for?
I can check. There's a real time.
Check it. Check it real time. And
there's an app called Card Ladder that I use to check the. It's. I'm telling you, the trading that happens. It's like straight up stock market stuff. Look, there's $4.7 billion market cap. $1.4 billion of sales were made yesterday.
Yesterday,
$1.4 billion yesterday.
In physical card sales or NFTs.
I'm sorry. $1.4 million
Still, that's a lot.
$1.4 million worth of cards were traded yesterday alone. So
it's amazing.
You know, you can look up like what the latest moves with Ohtani's are, and
it's like Bitcoin. Like, when are players going to want to start being paid in baseball?
Russell
cards? in NFTs,
in their own cards,
in their own NFT. I want 7,000 of my rookie card.
Yeah, I mean, so Shohei Ohtani rookie cards, and this is like the base. You know, to get into the card stuff, you got to know the world that we live in now. It's not like in the 1987 Tops when we were growing up.
Right, which we collected.
Right, when there's just, you know, maybe there's Tops, Fleer, Donruss, and there's just one set, and that's it. Now
you get it. You get the bubble gum, and you hope you get an Ohtani in the pack.
Now you got like 15, 20 different brands.
Okay.
Maybe even more. 30 different card brands coming out each year. Uh-huh. They all have parallels.
Right.
They all have autographed versions.
What
they have numbered
parallels?
Versions.
What are parallels?
So they'll make, you know, so here's an example, Tops. So, first of all, there's 2018 Topps Shohei Ohtani rookie card, $300 in Gem Mint 10 today.
Unreal.
You know, which is like, again.
That's only 3 years old.
If you bought that, by the way, when it came out, it was hot. And I remember I sold an Ohtani autograph for like $450 in 2018.
Wow.
Right? But 2019, the injuries, that's when you could have probably had this card for $5.
No way.
Yeah.
And now it's like out of control.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's out of control because he is the greatest. And people are, you know, he's living up to the expectations.
Right.
And had you had faith in him, like some people had faith in Bitcoin, right? It is a similar thing. You have to have faith in these players that, you know what, an injury is not going to derail them completely.
That's right.
They're going to come back. They're going to show why they're the greatest on both sides of the ball.
But what's so crazy is who do you know to have faith in and who do you know not to have faith in? I mean, you look at a pitcher like on the Mets, Jacob DeGrom is probably the best pitcher of our time. And he's shut down for the rest of the year.
Shut down for the year?
Yeah.
I mean, and can you, this is my question. I've never known this. And I asked Randy and he's like, I don't know.
I don't know the answer to this. Rex, maybe
can
you know the answer.
Can you unshut down someone? Down?
If like, they're shut down, can you shut them up?
Because you're just saying.
Shut down for what?
Yeah. They're like, he's shut down by the Mets or by his people.
Or Darrell Revis.
His doctor or whoever saying, lockdown. So he's shut down.
On an island.
But what I'm saying is, if the Mets are in first place and if the Mets make a playoff run, can you break glass and pull him out and say, we need him?
In case of emergency.
Playoffs. Yeah, I mean, he took 2 months off. Let's get him a start.
Can you reevaluate him at the end of September and say, can he go?
Right. Or do you go with Anthony Banda? Not a bad option. I'm kidding. I mean, some of these Mets players, like, again, I don't know, Robert Stock.
Syndergaard's done for the year?
Well, he's started. Throwing
back.
He started throwing off hard ground.
Right.
I think, which is better than a bouncy castle, which was last week. So
really, you don't have a bouncy castle, then he's going to do a soft marsh.
Right. He's going to start handling watermelons again in the supermarket, which is a huge step in the rehab.
That's a big step for rotator cuff.
And he goes to Sur La Table and then throws off some sponges, and then he gets back into it. So
once he starts spitting plates, you know he's ready to hit.
But what if you're like, Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher ever, I'm going to buy up all of his stuff, and then he gets injured again. You know what I mean?
I was listening to, I forgot who was talking about it, about hitting against DeGrom and the notion of how he's like, I'm going to just strike out. I know I'm going to strike out when I go up there against him. His ball, he's like, I've never against any other pitcher have I seen a ball explode out of somebody's hand like that. You have to guess right. And even if you guess right, you still swing and you miss.
So why is he getting, I mean, he doesn't look like, you know, he's not. It's arm action. How tall he is. Like, how tall is Jacob DeGrom?
Like, he's like 5'4", surprisingly.
Oh, my God. He's shorter than Lincecum?
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably, like,
no, but it's not 6'6", is what I'm saying.
No, he's like 6'3".
It's arm action mixed with, like, the flexibility of whatever they can do, the way they hide it, and the way that it just is suddenly revealed and jumps off his hand.
And when I, you know, early in his career, I thought it was the hair. Like, he's hiding it behind that mane.
So great.
You know, that Samson-esque mane. But he cut the hair, and he still has dominance. The DeGrominator.
DeGrominator got better.
He got better, you know. Delightful, the lovely DeGrom.
What's going to happen to this guy's career? I mean, is it just...
So this is, again, you know, talking about the hobby. There's a reason why pitchers don't have the same, you know, love from collectors that hitters do, because the prevalence of injuries.
Right.
And, you know, you take a risk, right? Well, any one of these guys. I mean, name one pitcher who hasn't missed a season. These days. Like, a top pitcher hasn't missed a full season or more with some surgery or...
All of them.
Blisters and this. I mean, by the way, doesn't it bother you that, like, it seems like more and more athletes are getting injured across all these sports?
Yes. Yeah.
In a time when... You know,
we should know better.
We have the best training techniques ever developed, the best, finest supplements and recovery tools, and the best understanding of kinesiology in the history of mankind.
So I think, do you want to know my theory on this?
I have one too. Yeah,
I'd love to hear yours. Go ahead.
Let me hear yours.
All right, so I'll tell you mine. Is that I think players and science is identifying where players should go in terms of how they play and how they're used. And it's more specialized than it's ever been. So they say, you're the pitcher for the sixth and seventh inning, and you're not going to do anything more than that. So you don't have to build yourself up in such a way. It's not like a starter that they bring in. Or, I mean, I remember Bruce Sutter, when we were a kid, would relieve and end of the game in the last three innings. He pitched the last three innings to get the save. We're not talking about coming in for two outs or three outs or whatever. He pitched three whole innings for the save. It was almost as like he had the strength of a starting pitcher. So when you specialize so hard, they're like, go out there and throw it as hard as you possibly can. Whereas a Bruce Sutter would say, you know what? I got to conserve my strength because I might be in here for three innings. I'm not going to overthrow myself. And you see guys throwing their arms out. And the way they throw across their body, you just see them. That's not something that can sustain itself. And there was like a whole thing on Real Sports about, I think, what was the guy's name? Mike Morgan, the pitcher, Mike Morgan, who was having guys practice by throwing. They're like, why do tennis players not get the rotator cuff the same thing? Because they do the same motion as baseball players in swinging down when they serve, but they don't have the same amount of rotator cuff injuries and Tommy John surgeries and elbows and this and that, because they hold on to their rackets. So, like, why don't we teach pitching where the guys hold on to the ball? They throw and maybe the ball is attached to something, and the, you know what I mean, basically you're holding on to something, and like that's a way to strengthen that area. And so they were teaching and it was working, but like it was only accepted by a small group of people. It wasn't like all of Major League Baseball was accepting it. But if they keep seeing guys go down and the stars of the league go down, it's a huge issue. What's your theory?
That's an interesting theory. I think it's the extra 10%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, all these athletes now are saying they give 110%.
That is it.
And 100% is enough.
You're doing too much.
100%. Which is why I've started the Keep It 100 campaign.
Keep It 100. So,
hashtag Keep It 100. Save the 10% for tipping the clubhouse attendants, you know?
Which they don't even get tipped enough.
Right. They'll appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just huge buckets of chewing gum. Let's talk about the American League.
But yeah.
Let's talk about the American League.
The American League.
Who's emerging from the American League as far as you're concerned right now as we sit here kind of on the second half of this season? I mean, do you see a team like Tampa Bay as
Tampa
like
Bay,
getting
Boston.
Hot in the end? Or is this Boston's league to lose?
Cora's comeback. I mean, Boston, Tampa, New York. New York, I still feel like has a lane in
the
here.
The Yankees?
Yes. I mean, you can't count the Yankees out.
I think you can. In certain ways, like you can't.
COVID is trying to count.
I'm like, what is Giancarlo Stanton? What is his identity? He used to be a guy who just got up and you feared him. I'm like, what is he now? Please tell me what he is.
He's a big dude,
injured,
strong.
You know, another guy.
Another
guy
can't
stay healthy. Yeah.
He's like baseball Rock. He's like the Rock in baseball, essentially.
Or Sylvester Stallone in the Expendables. He's basically expendable.
He's expendable in some weird way.
I don't know if the Yankees are. I really don't know. I really don't think
What about the A's or like teams like that?
I think Houston is going to wind up emerging.
Yeah, they're in first.
I mean, Houston's in first, and Altuve's hitting multiple home run games.
They ripped off his shirt in one game, and there was no sound device underneath. That was
amazing.
Probably a shocking thing that we found.
Yeah. That's a guy who you say, obviously, stature-wise, doesn't match. You're like, what is he doing? What is he doing? 5'4", 5'5", doing that stuff? Come on.
I mean, maybe he's got just a more compact swing. It's like the messy.
He's got a big bat. He's got a big bat, and maybe he can just turn his wrists in a way that none of us, the rest of us, can.
I mean, I'm trying to think of comps. Fernando Vina, Jose Vidro. Right. I don't know. I mean, no, he's the
Freddie,
power.
Freddie Patek.
Freddie Patek.
Glenn Hubbard.
Freddie Sanchez.
Yeah.
Some of these guys can just turn on it, and they have they're just. Yeah, it's the wrist. It really is that the wrist action. Like, you don't have to be a hulking, bulking guy to crush the ball. I mean, baseball is one of those sports where it's all about the mechanics. It's just so important, the fluidity of that. And if you can tap into that, it's why you have a Tim Lincecum. You know, it's why you have these unexpected heroes that can.
Dude, I was watching Hendricks pitch last night for the Cubs, and you know, Sutcliffe said, "Look, I'm not saying he's this guy." So everybody shut up before. It wasn't Sutcliffe here, but it was referenced by Carl Ravitch. Said he's not. He's like, "I'm not saying he's this guy." So nobody get on me for this, but he's the closest thing I've seen to Greg Maddux since Greg Maddux, meaning he had everybody off the wrong foot the way he was throwing. 80 miles an hour, 87 was his fastball, and he just, you know, we're watching guys come in and throw, you know, triple digits on this thing, and you get ready for that as a hitter so much. You're only prepared to hit something that's coming that fast, that when some guy throws super slow and changes it up to 80, 77, 87, 89, you don't know how to handle that.
Yeah. If you look at Greg Maddux, like, you know, he looks like an assistant librarian in those early 90s with the glasses and everything. Like, this is, again, baseball is, this, I think, the only sport where you can sort of transcend the mold of the typical athlete and succeed. I mean, like, Steve Balboni comes to mind, Bob Hamlin, these guys with
Tony Gwynn,
these guys with legit paunches.
You know, Tony Gwynn was fat.
It's like unfair to say fat now, I guess. Like, that's not a
fine. Tony Gwynn was hefty. He's husky.
Yeah, morbidly obese. And it actually, sadly. But that, the thing is, that's what I personally love about baseball. Someone who is not a prototypical gifted athlete with that stature, you know, growing up, I sort of thought I can succeed in the sport because guys like who look like Nomar Garciaparra with that face can make it. You know,
to quote the TV show Transparent, the schnoz on that guy.
The schnoz on that guy. Well, like Giannis Antetokounmpo looks like he is Superman.
He's like a Greek statue.
Right. And to be a good basketball player, you have to. Dwight Howard, Superman. I mean, look at these guys, the way they're built. We call them
LeBron.
Yes.
I know.
And football, you can't be, you know, how many Rudys are there really? And the guy, what, got into one game? Good for you, buddy.
He wasn't even that good. But I'm talking about Sean Astin Green. He wasn't even that good.
But baseball's the only one. So it's democratizing that way, I think.
Talking about Brian Austin Green.
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin. I called him Sean Astin Green. Because he was like Brian.
Sean Astin Martin.
Last question about question about NFTs and just like, because I don't fully understand it. But like, if you can just real briefly talk about just the insane nature of like.
Where are we heading with NFTs?
Like,
explain NFTs.
Explain it to our fans.
They don't know by now. I mean,
some may not know.
Honestly, it's the kind of thing that happens so fast that it's almost
over. NFT means not safe for work, right? That's NSFW. I'm sorry.
So NFTs are
non-fungible token. I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a non-fungible token.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's
it happens so fast that it's almost over now. You say?
No, because this is a craze that really popped. I would say, you know, last November.
Okay.
December.
When
into
were
January.
We in my garage when you were talking to me about it?
We were talking about it. When was that? Yeah, I mean, you know, and then January, February. I mean. Really around January and February, the stimulus checks coming, the market was so overheated, and this goes across the board. Stock market, crypto, sports card market was huge. That's when the Michael Jordan rookie sold for $750,000, setting a new record at the time. But by the way, another one sold for $850,000 last week. There was a major dip, and it's starting to creep back up, guys. So,
wow.
But that $750,000 card sold for $350,000 4 months later. So January was the hottest point we had it, and that's when this NFT stuff was popping off. But honestly, now we're in July and into August.
Like, tell me give an example of one NFT. What's an example?
So it really started to take hold. I mean, I think this concept's been around for a while, but for sports fans and sports collectors particularly, this NBA Top Shot is what put it on the map.
Okay.
And that is a company, I think they're called Dapper Labs, that creates some other NFTs, crypto kitties or something, some other things. But now they got a license from the NBA.
Okay.
And they're taking moments from games. They call them moments. So a LeBron dunk, a layup.
How about the
block or that slam dunk, that alley-oop in game six.
At the end of the game, yeah.
You know, like those, so the biggest moments, they basically clip off every moment. You know, right. Dellavedova steal if yeah. he was. Yes. But
may he rest in peace. I know he's not dead.
Coming
I
off
just
the bench.
Want him to get
just
a good
Taco Fall coming off the bench. That's you know, right. just that's standing right. up and taking the towel off his back,
which is an NFT moment.
That's an NFT moment. But like that's so they do all these moments. But the biggest ones, of course, the biggest plays. LeBron when he did the Kobe tribute, and they'll go back to
Damian Lillard like game winners. Those couple where he turns away.
Exactly.
So if you're those become the most collectible, and you're like, I want this moment. Well, let me you can own the moment.
Right. So it seems like when I first saw it, and I saw it pretty early, and I sort of passed on the whole thing, but it's like, who's going to pay for a YouTube clip? It's essentially right. what it is. You're getting a clip of the game, that particular moment, maybe a five-second moment, like I said, a steal, a dunk, whatever, and they put a little frame around, digital frame, and they have every angle on it, and you know they make it look nice, but it's just the clip from the game and the replays on it. So they put these in packs, virtual packs, that you buy a pack, you open it up, and you get maybe three or five moments in these packs, and they're all serial numbered. And that's where it comes into play, because it's scarcity. It's manufactured scarcity. Mm-hmm. They put this in the blockchain and all that jazz, but yeah. but basically, you know, it's this token that you can own digital property now. And my purchase, which was made through this blockchain address, and I have this serialized number, so there's no other number
it's
but
like
mine.
A living piece of art,
right.
so to speak.
But and there are editions out of one of ones. There's one out of 500, one out of 30,000. So, you know, the scarcer ones are worth more, and there's a sure. market for this. You can trade and sell them. So that's the whole NFT thing in a nutshell. It's
wow.
just virtual cards. So and my first blush, I was like, this is idiotic. But then I thought about it more, and I'm like, you know what? It's kind of brilliant. If you're a kid today, your whole life is online.
Exactly.
You're playing this stuff. You know, we collected baseball cards, basketball cards. It's just a physical cardboard, a
someone
static image.
Dunking on somebody.
If you're lucky, maybe they're got their hands on their hips or
holding
the baseball.
A basketball in front of the
but
camera.
How do you brag about that and show other people that you have it,
that you have the NFT?
When you live in a virtual world like they all do, they're online all the time. They have their avatars. They put it on, they put on their Instagram page. They post it on TikTok. Like
wow.
they just show it to the world,
wow.
and
they
you
say,
just need
I
the picture
this.
Of it, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
when you buy a new pair of sneakers or you on Instagram, like you show
can it
your
be
stuff
stolen?
Off. No, that's the thing. There's security to this. You know, the securitization is important. But whereas, you know, you have a physical card like this, you know, by the way, kneeling. I mean, how interesting is this photo of Ken Griffey Jr. kneeling right now?
Yeah, and he got injured. That's that way. Well, he got injured on his knee. That's how fragile Ken Griffey Jr. was.
You know how, like, on most baseball diamonds, there are mountains behind it? Where the hell is this in Arizona?
Bellingham, Washington, perhaps.
Jesus.
Where he played. But, you know, this is probably spring training. No, I mean, my point is, this is boring, you know, for someone who wants to interact with something.
But
versus
if you love
play,
Ken Griffey Jr., where he goes over the wall
and you're
and
watching
catches
the
ball.
Whole video of him going over the wall, making a catch, or hitting a home run in the Derby with a hat backwards and all that, you get the full play, and now that's yours. You own that in the same way you own a physical card.
Right.
You go, okay, it makes more sense. The technology didn't allow us to have little videos in our hands.
Right.
Now you can, with your phone and these Top Shots, you can have a video of your favorite moment, your favorite player in your hand. So
that's yours.
That's the Top Shot thing. But like I said, the craze was hot, and it's crazy. Crashed all the way down, and like I couldn't even tell you what's going on in the market. I don't know what anyone's talking about anymore.
Right.
I'm sure there's still people doing it. They have new releases, but I never got on board with it because like I'm holding these cards now. I'm still old school, and
it is
I
cool to see that in your hand.
There's
right
something
there.
In your hand. So I brought some created cards here because like, you know. By the way, when this episode drops, I will be at the national convention, the sports card convention in Chicago, Illinois, technically Rosemont.
You hear that by Rosemont Horizon? Is that where it's at?
You bet, in the convention center, yeah.
So, okay, go to the convention center. If you're going in Chicago, go see, where are you going to be?
I'll be there in the booth. I'm doing stuff with a company called Collectible and Star
nice.
Stock. We're doing live breaks. We're doing pack wars. I'm walking around, doing some trivia questions.
Scarlet Fire, all the things that used to happen at
Pack
the Rosemont.
Wars into Scarlet, into Fire, into Help Slip Franklin's. I love it.
Exactly. Maybe a Wharf Rat closer.
Hey!
I don't know. So, no, I'll be there, and I'm in this now. I'm got back into this card thing. I did it as a kid, and I say as a kid. I was doing it, you know, 2 years ago, too. But when I got it, when this market started to get hot, and people are now reaching out to me, because I've sort of been known as a collector. I did some web series 3 years ago with HQ was big, and, you know, it was a Yahoo Sports show, and it was like, I was opening old packs of cards. And
amazing.
People, you know, people identify with that.
They love
I love seeing other geeks out there.
That's right.
And
that's
now
right. It's
I'm,
an unboxing thing.
So I've started doing these unboxings, these box
amazing.
Breaks.
Amazing.
I have an Instagram called Play Break Boss. I've created a gamified version called Break Boss.
Amazing.
So at Play Break Boss, I just started this yesterday.
I love it.
We break, and I can talk. I mean, if we have time, I can talk about one of my favorite boxes.
But well, let's take a break. On the other side of the break, I cannot wait to hear this. Scott Rogowski is with us at what is your Twitter and Instagram, and so people can follow.
Well, you know, at Scott Rogowski, but who cares? At Play Break Boss. I'm trying to build this. I think I have 7 followers right
now.
Fine,
let's do it. At Play Break Boss.
If you collect cards, all sports, and you want to play a game, a fun game to break
following
some cards
right now.
Yeah,
follow him. It costs nothing to follow him. Just enjoy it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with to find out what his favorite pack or favorite box to break is, and we have a couple of quick hits. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We are with the great Scott Rogowski of DAZN fame, of HQ trivia fame, of he's just fantastic.
And now Break Boss fame.
Break
and
Boss.
And I do want to say something. I know it's
following
before.
It, you're at 28 followers,
yes,
29.
Already at 29.
I love it.
Just before the break there, you mentioned it doesn't cost anything. I heard that, and now it is $14.99 a month.
Oh, wait. Holy my God.
So I made a quick adjustment.
In the break, it's gone up a little bit.
Yeah.
So at Break Boss.
Play Break Boss. Someone's squatting on Break Boss.
Okay, so at Play Break Boss.
And I say play because it is a game. Now,
all right, check this out.
If you've ever seen a live break before, have you guys?
I think I know. Oh, my God.
This has become a huge thing in the last 5 years or so.
Oh, my God. Are we going to get a live break on this?
People have a box of cards like I have here. This
right.
is truly one of my favorite boxes, and I'll explain why. 1990-91 NBA Hoops,
wow.
Series 1. Wow. But the standard break is some guy goes on there, has a box, sells spots. So there are 36 packs in this box. I would sell 36 spots. You know, each person gets a pack. Or they do it by teams, which is very popular. Like, I get, you know, you randomize. So I get Nuggets.
Get the Nuggets, and an Alex English card comes.
Alex
you get
English,
that.
Boom. You know, maybe a Reggie Williams, if you're lucky.
Okay.
Then there's like, you know.
No. You're not lucky with an Alex English?
No. But then there's like, you know, the Bullets and the Sonics, right? So you can throw back to the old school play.
Alex English was my favorite Vampire Weekend song. I'm sorry, that's California English. Anyway, continue.
But so these breaks happen
that's
all the time.
Oxford comma.
Oxford
I'm sorry,
comma. Is there a Sidney Moncrief joke we can make? I don't know. No, this is the way the breaks go normally is, you know, it's pretty standard. People pay ahead of time, they buy it, and they get a team. They get maybe.
So you're
going
to break this box open right
now?
No,
I'm not going to do it here. But I'm setting up the thing. So what I've done is I've created a game called Break Boss. And the way is you can win the game and become the break boss, like the cake boss.
I love it. hey, you're going to make it a break.
I assign points to different cards in the box, and if you get those cards,
you get a certain,
you get
number
certain
of points.
So it's not just about the chase for the big cards. It's about where you place. The top five at
great.
The end win prizes. I give out other cards,
so fun.
Other things. So, you know, it's so fun. I built up this community on Whatnot, and I go live there, whatnot.com/quizdaddy. But I'm going to be doing some breaks for, Star Stock and Loop and some other places, and you know, going to be trying to find a forever home for my show here.
I love this.
Basically, you know, this box right here, this 1990-91,
NBA
why I love
hoops.
This box, NBA Hoops. I'll explain why I love this box and some of the big cards I assign points to. So you see Michael Jordan on the cover
Jordan
there,
on the
box.
Front, right.
So Jordan obviously is in here. Jordan is just an evergreen.
There's Pippen in the back calling Phil Jackson a racist. I love it.
I can see it.
You can see it.
And he's about to punch a guy outside of a Nobu. They have
dropping
that
an
card. I want that NFT.
I want that. Exactly.
Yeah, let's get those going.
I want Rodman taking a dump in a hallway.
In a North Korean hotel. Let's do that NFT.
This is an idea. Let's.
Okay,
I
let's
can get some funding.
It out. Come on.
Let's do it.
Sports athletes doing non-sports thing NFTs. Okay.
So, you know, this Jordan card, that's the base Jordan. There's also an All-Star card in here.
Yeah.
50 points on that card, right?
Yeah.
You know, solid. I give the top scorers 50 points. But there's also a card of Sam Vincent, guard for the Orlando Magic.
Sure.
Remember him?
Sure. No,
well,
Sam
Vincent. And typically, a Sam Vincent card is worth bupkis.
Right.
But in this set, and only in the Series 1, the Sam Vincent base card, you know, you're talking about who else is in the card? Check that out. Who's in the foreground there? Do you see that?
Is that...
wearing number 12 for the Bulls?
Who is that?
Take a look at the face. Zoom in if you need to.
That's Michael Jordan wearing number 12.
Right.
And it's Bill Cartwright wearing number 24. But
well,
Jordan
that doesn't
wearing
matter as
number
much.
12.
Jordan
Why
wearing
is Jordan
number
12. Wearing
because for one game in his career, he wore the number 12 jersey. February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1990. Someone stole his uniform before the game. Have you heard the story?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
In Orlando. someone stole the uniform and he had to wear this backup uniform.
And that's where Sam Vincent's card is.
And this card happened to be the photo. It's a Sam Vincent card. It's his card.
But
there's a cameo with Jordan wearing this jersey. It's the only card that exists with Jordan number 12.
I love it.
This becomes a hot card. This card was selling for $1,000 in PSA 10 back in January. Now you can get it for about $300, $350. But still,
it's a 50 pointer in this break box.
A 50 pointer. It's a 60 pointer.
Oh, wow.
For Sam Vincent. Now, that's not the only cool kind of oddball card. There's also this card, Mark Jackson. Do you know anything about this card?
This I know, the Menendez brothers in the background.
Lyle and Eric, your favorite murderous sibling duo.
Are they wearing crazy sweaters?
Hey, they're killing it.
Lyle and Eric Menendez in the sitting courtside at MSG after they murdered their parents in cold blood.
Oh, my God.
So this is after murder.
Yes, this is post-murder.
How are they going to afford courtside seats unless they murder their parents?
Unless they steal their money and
I
blow it
all. Who do I got to kill to get courtside seats from the Knicks?
Turns out mom and dad.
Mom and dad down,
man down.
Mark Jackson. Mama, there goes those murders.
Mama, there goes those murders.
And one. It was with the assist. I think this is... it's the Menendez brothers rookie card,
right.
And it's the only one. Well, I wouldn't say that. They just discovered a Kiki Vandeweghe with Jeffrey Dahmer hanging in the back.
Come on, stop it.
Dave Corzine with the Zodiac Killer having a hot dog. Right?
the only time we've seen him.
I did think it was weird that as the Menendez brothers were sitting there, Reggie Miller made the choice.
That is not okay. That is not all right.
A poor taste. Reggie.
So this Menendez brothers rookie card, this is also now like it's still a $500, $600 card. And it's a Mark Jackson. Again, a common card. It would be worth 10 cents if you didn't notice this. Some guy just noticed it 3 years ago, became a big deal. More recently, this hasn't caught on as much as Menendez, but there's a third card with a courtside cameo with a strange little photo. Can you recognize that blurry face? Circa 1990?
Is it Selena?
Former Laker girl, current American
idol. Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul sitting courtside on this Greg Grant card.
I love it.
So this one, this is like a $5 card. It hasn't gone. I think it's cool. Paula Abdul. I mean, straight up, it's a cool card.
Hey, if you're into over-medicating yourself as an older person,
sure. One of the all-time great Syrian Jews. Can we just put that out there?
She's
Jewish.
Jew? Paula Abdul.
Had a bat mitzvah.
No way.
No, she did not.
Well,
did she dance at her own bat mitzvah?
I don't know.
That's when she discovered her love.
I don't think we can even do quick hits, Jay.
No, this kind of took
this counts as quick hits.
This is quick.
Yeah, we did. This is quick hits on the cards. I absolutely love it.
Are you sure you don't want to do one? Let's do
we
one.
Could, we, could break, we'll do, we could break some cards. I have some other cards if
let's
you want to do a break.
Let's do one Patreon, quick hit. Patreon. Let's do one quick hit and we'll break
and
cards.
And we'll break cards into Patreon.
Okay? Let's right, do a quick hit. You ready?
All right. Let's do one quick hit. Atlanta Falcons Pro Bowl kicker Younghoe Koo.
Younghoe Koo.
Had his Jeep Cherokee stolen. That doesn't tell you that how little kickers get paid.
He had a Jeep Cherokee.
This reminds me of, I don't know if you watched when there were no sports at the beginning of the pandemic. We've talked about this before. And you had horse between
the WNBA players and the NBA players. Yes, and Mike Conley Jr. is playing in his own gym.
A gym that's like nicer than the gym at the University of Michigan.
WNBA player is like shooting on an outside rim in the backyard.
Next door to her apartment complex.
Yeah, you're like, no net.
Tamika Catchings, like someone else is like, we got next. It's like, no, this is being televised on ESPN. Let her finish playing horse against Mike Conley.
Why is Mike Conley's gym better than most of
these
women's
houses? Why does Mike Conley's house gym have a concession stand?
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, so...
So he's driving around a Jeep Cherokee, and that car gets stolen with his cleats in it, kicker. He put out a note on Instagram saying, please bring back my cleats. I won't even be mad about the car. Of course you wouldn't be mad about the car, right?
It's ridiculous.
Because, do you know how much cleats cost these days?
It's a Jeep Cherokee.
$150?
What's the guy's name?
This tells me his name. He's the kicker for the Falcons, Younghoe Koo.
I have the NFT of Younghoe Koo receiving his cleats back from the person.
Kickers need more money, is what I'm saying.
Give the kickers more money. They score the points. They're the ones who a lot of times win or lose games.
But for real, you can't get another pair of cleats.
I mean,
you are an NFL kicker.
You're making enough money to do that. It's not like you're making $100,000 a year, and even still, you could get.
And it did seem like he was in an apartment complex. It was parked between two cars.
He's going to have to take a job at Foot Locker.
Just to
get his hands on those shoes.
On those cleats again.
This is like old-time football when like Deacon Jones worked at a medical supply company
exactly.
in the offseason.
Going door-to-door. Pee-wee Reese going door-to-door selling vacuum cleaners.
That's right.
I don't know. All right, let's. Should we do this other one? We're into these.
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's do one. All right. So the Olympic Village has. We all know that. I mean, even with COVID, I it's going to be hard to stop it from being one giant orgy.
Oh my God!
Uh-huh. Finish your games. You know, get your scoring on the field, then get time some to scoring back in the Olympic
time
Village.
To do some
right?
Yeah.
Rumor then came out that the beds in the Olympic Village were cardboard.
You saw that? Did you see?
I
this?
Did discourage, not see this. To discourage sexual activity.
Oh. So an Irish gymnast started jumping up and down on it. To
Riz McClanahan, who I loved, by the way, on the Golden Girls.
Me too. Riz McClanahan.
Has debunked the idea that the cardboard frame beds for athletes in Tokyo Village were not strong enough to withstand vigorous activity and were therefore anti-sex by recording himself leaping up and down on one.
Sure, an anorexic gymnast leaping up and down on a cardboard
Yeah,
box.
But still, I think he's right. I think there are other ways that they can try and discourage sex, like maybe COVID.
Yeah, COVID would maybe
just give everyone COVID,
right?
Yeah,
or I'm
just
not,
have it look, circulate.
And all COVID games would be interesting. I mean, you know, it's a level playing field,
sure.
Right? Everyone is on the same medicine at that point.
That's right.
Well, don't
hydroxychloroquine is the new
right
performance enhancer,
right? Organizers plan to give away about 150,000 condoms at the games, but they're telling athletes to take them home rather than use them in the village where social distancing rules and coronavirus measures are taking top priority. But yes, they do. I mean, think about that time. If you're an Olympic athlete, you're a kid. You've given your life to this thing.
You're like, I just want a good night's sleep before I go to perform. And the thing that I've been studying for and training for the last, certainly last 4 years with Les, please, can I sleep on an Amazon box?
No, you realize it's not even about the athletics for these people. It's about the sex. These people train year after year since they're children to try to hook up with a Latvian.
That's right.
That's the point,
dude. That's what
athletes. Their bodies are in tip top condition. They should want to be with you. It's so exciting for them. They're with other people. Who else understands their lives the way they understand their
think
lives?
Think about the Nobody children being kids. Sired potentially.
Oh my God.
Future
the bloodlines here.
Brilliant. I'm going to say brilliant athletes. You think about like.
You force them to mate.
I agree.
They something should come out of this.
Yeah. Something
nine
good
months
should.
Later.
9 months later,
exactly.
You have the best.
Planning
and
for
then,
the future.
And then we get to fight over which country
gets the kid.
Gets the kid.
That would be amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if it's two people from two different countries.
So you have the two countries play each other in whatever sport is their
for custody.
For custody of this child. Who gets the kid when they're older. This is great. We're coming
and
up
then we can remake Kramer versus Kramer.
The Sex Olympics. We've done it. We did it. There you go.
I'm telling you. Between that and the NFTs of the ransoms or the non-baseball activities.
I feel like
there
we're,
you go. That's
there
Quick
go.
Hits. That's Quick
go.
Hits with Scott Rogowski. If you want to see him break a pack open and talk about that, we're doing that on a Patreon. If you haven't joined our Patreon,
new episodes of Cheap Seats every month. We just did the International Slap Fight. Jay and I just picked the four that we're going to do for
the
next
4 months.
Are
unbelievable.
Let's just say there's some old
ABC Wide World of Sports.
Gordon Nelly, Keith Jackson.
I have to give a testimonial here. I just want to say, I've been telling you guys for years through the Patreon, it's so perfect for you, too.
Thank you,
it's great.
I mean, bringing Cheap Seats back on your own way, it's just brilliant. And it's about time you did it. I'm so glad you did. And absolutely, if you're not signing up for that, why are you listening to the podcast?
So Patreon, and we get a little extra from the interviews, and we do a little Patreon pods once a week. So all just for you. $5. Go to patreon.com. Look up Sklar Brothers. Sign up, please, please, please. We're going to take a break, and we have a special guest right after this, a voicemail. So don't go anywhere. And Patreon.
I think it's an interview, actually.
Is it an interview? Oh,
yeah,
it is an interview.
Yeah,
oh, it is an interview. That's right. It's not a voicemail. It's an interview because we did it last week. All right. We'll be back with more right after this. And Patreon fans, we're going to break a couple packs with Scott Rogowski. So beware.
Be the one that you run to. When you got nowhere else to go, when you need some love.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As promised, we have a special guest.
I didn't even know he existed, Jay. That's
I didn't
how little...
know. So as twins, we always, I think, get excited when we find out that someone who we
but
admire.
But this is not a twin. It's not just, a twin.
Well, we admire that there's a brother who has a close connection
there
to
you
another
go.
Brother.
That's right. That's right.
So this is John Oliver.
We're
host
such
of
huge
last
fans
week tonight
of John Oliver. I didn't know he had a brother named Ron Oliver.
Ron Oliver. Who I'm so excited to talk politics with and just get into it with.
Yeah, some stuff's
like
happened in the last couple weeks that, like, to have Ron Oliver on to me is fantastic.
Just to get his perspective. Ron, are you there, buddy?
I am here. I'm listening. And so far, I like what you're saying.
Okay, great, great. Fantastic. Ron, it is. You sound uncannily like your brother, John Oliver, who we absolutely love. And I'm sure you will dig deep into the political nature of what we are about to talk about. Am I right?
Well, before you go on too far about that, I'm not a slinger of political, shall we say, manure.
Okay.
I am a slinger of wondrous products, lines and things. That's my game.
Oh, but, really?
I mean, you know, okay. Do I know that there's a political... parties? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do I attend? Not so much.
Okay. Well, they're not really parties you attend, but fine. All right. So I want to get your opinion, and maybe you do have an opinion on this whole notion of the idea that a player like Shohei Ohtani, American baseball player from
Japan, will never
Japan,
be a big star
because he is working through an interpreter. Is this something that we should worry about? Can he transcend the sport?
Okay. Now, let me walk a delicate line here and tell you this. I don't think that there's any language in the world that speaks more than the language of cold, hard cash.
Oh.
And when you look at Ohtani and the numbers he's generating on the field, that translates directly to the till. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Oliver, I'm rarely wrong.
Okay,
I'm all over this topic.
Okay, so the money he's making
it is insane though to hear your voice and to not have any political slant.
You don't have any political slant. You don't follow politics in any way, shape, or form.
I follow the shape of the letter S with two lines going down the middle.
Money.
It's about the money, fellows. Follow the money, and there lies the answer to all ills, political, sports, or any.
Okay, so
Ron Oliver is all about that dollar,
and excuse me, all about that pound. I mean, you got to make those pounds if you and Ron, you live in England, or is it? There was rumor that you lived in Dubai just for the money. I mean, for the tax breaks.
I do have a property in Dubai, and I'm glad you brought this up because let me tell your listeners right now, if you act right now on RonOliversDeals.com, you will find an incredible opportunity
to
invest in a sandlot lot.
No.
Now, what I mean by that is the children of Dubai don't have sandboxes out in their, you know, their yards. Their sandboxes are beachfront property.
Okay.
So, and they're not that good with money. So you can really get a great deal
not that
on a
good
wonderful
with money.
Sandbox sandlot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, did you ever see the movie The Sandlot or no?
I don't believe I have. I'd love to hear you break it down in narrative fashion.
Well,
it's okay. It's about a bunch of kids
who play baseball in a sandlot. But I mean,
there you go. We're talking baseball. Now you've brought this into it. It all comes full circle. We're here. We should be here. There you go.
All right. So Shohei Ohtani, in your opinion, it doesn't matter if he has an interpreter or not. He's about his achievements will translate into dollars. Is that what you're saying?
They will translate into dollars. And I know, because I have heard, and I do watch occasionally American telly, I know that this commentator, Stephen A. Smith, is in a bit of hot water.
He was.
He's not a lobster.
Nope.
But he's in a bit of hot water over this whole issue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're absolutely right. He is in hot water over this issue. And yet you're saying, Stephen A., slow your roll. This is a guy who's just going to make money. Let the money speak for itself before you determine whether or not he's going to be a
money doesn't need an interpreter.
I mean, look, If I had a word of advice for Stephen A., and I probably do, it would be this. Stephen, you proceeded to bury yourself with each syllable that you uttered, like a samurai committing linguistic hari-kari.
Yeah.
You bought yourself a one-way ticket on the bullet train to camp cancel culture.
Okay.
Well, guess what? I have your escape pass.
How's he going to do it? Let's hear it.
How he's going to get out of
okay.
this. Much like my amazing back knee cleansing solution, Pimps Away.
Oh, God.
Which removes hard to reach pimples, bubbles, and so forth. This is great for us.
Good to know.
That's a sidetrack. I have the perfect elixir to cure Stephen's ills. It's called
A-Away.
All you have to do, Stephen, is remove the A in Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Taking you from a controversial spewer of gossip and bombastic opinion and turning you into Steve Smith, neighbor, holding a rake, waxing on about water conservation.
Steve Smith.
Boom, problem solved.
I think this is a great idea.
If anyone understands rebranding, it's Ron
Oliver. If anybody understands how to live in anonymity, because I didn't even know Ron Oliver existed. It's Ron Oliver.
Ron
so
Oliver, you know.
Not only do I exist, I thrive. And very quickly, my question for you, and this will be it.
We'll wrap
Are
up.
Are either of you going on a vacation this summer?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. I'm going to go on a vacation.
What do we need?
Fantastic. Okay. We've opened the gateway. Uh-huh. After a long, hard pandemic, isn't it time for your family to get away for a great vacation?
Sure.
But with inflation soaring and car rental companies gouging prices like a Jake Paul slapping match,
uh-oh,
how do you decide where to go and who to take?
I don't
know,
Ron.
With my new board game, Oliver's Travels, you can eliminate a younger family member from your travel plans by simply asking trivia questions like this. If COVID is in fact a lab-based virus, how do we explain its organic evolution from the original variant to the multitudinous variants we see in today's viral landscape?
No way,
go
a young
on, Daisy.
Kid.
Take your time.
That's right.
You've got 1 minute.
No kid can answer that question.
And that's a way to eliminate a kid from your trip.
Then you take one person off the payroll. I love this. Dude, you got AOA, you've got back pimps, and you've got now you've got the elimination of a kid. I love this. Oliver's Travels.
Thank
okay.
you. Very, very much.
Ron Oliver. Is it RonOliversIdeas.com or what is it? Ron Oliver's
Deals.com.
I have various names through various domains. We won't get into the particulars.
Various,
but trust me, the bills are paid. You'll find
various names and various domains.com. Ron Oliver, appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining the show. Holy smokes, I didn't even know he existed.
There you go. That's a show.
Ron Oliver.
Jeez.
Give him all the credit in the world just for showing up. God, he really sounds like John
Oliver.
Does he not?
So
it's
much.
Just insane.
It's such a foreign concept to have a brother sound that much like his brother.
I don't know what that's like.
I have no idea what that would be like.
All right, guys, that's a show. Thank you to Scott Rogowski. Check out our Patreon. We have an incredible story. We actually unboxed some cards with him while we're with him. So check that out. It's super fun. And that is on our patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. And you'll get new episodes of Cheap Seats. You can check that out. A new one every month. We just picked the next four that we're going to do for that, and they are amazing. And
amazing.
Incredible. So check that out, plus extra content, extra interviews, and then a Patreon pod every week. Check all that out at our Patreon page, and we'll see you next week.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.